Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco. We are back on Empowered by the Spirit with a fantastic guest I've been trying to get on, it seems like, since God was a baby. And he's a young guy, too, so in terms of David Cavaletti. David is just an amazing person I've gotten to know over the last few years. He's in love with our Lord Jesus Christ in a very big way, he and his wife and his ministry. He has been a youth minister in a number of churches, and he has now with Life Teen and been doing amazing things. So welcome to the show, David.
Thanks so much, Deacon. I'm super excited and honored to be here.
Yeah. Tell us about your own personal journey and just how you turned to Jesus.
Absolutely. I was raised in, you know, kind of a normal American Catholic family. We went to Mass on a regular basis, but it never really seemed to sink more than that, you know, getting a donut after Mass as a kid. You know, that was the priority. And then in high school, because of overcrowding with the schools in the area, I actually was sent to a Protestant high school. There were no private Catholic schools in the area for high school. And it was there, and I thank God for this, but it was there that I really came in contact with the idea of needing a personal relationship with Christ, and that what he did on the cross was for the world, but also is very specifically for me, and kind of just that one-on-one way. And that led me to dive into my faith. And ultimately, though, what kept me Catholic was a vibrant Life Teen youth ministry program in my church. I had a lot of Protestant pull. Some of my family members have left the church to be on-fire Protestants, but Life Teen, as a high schooler, led me to the sacraments, taught me the importance about like things like confession and the Eucharist, and really connected to the reality of God's presence at Mass. And I saw that there was an offering there that was in no other church, and it was simply through a youth ministry program.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And this was life-changing for you. And did you have a moment where you just surrendered your heart to Jesus, or was it more gradual?
You know, I would say looking back, I could see these kind of gradual moments where I would identify God kind of working in my heart of those moments, but very distinctly as a freshman in high school, again, at that non-denominational Protestant high school that I was at, just facing that moment of like, wow, like, I have a chance to make a decision for Christ right now, to choose in my heart and in my mind and even publicly here, regardless of what my friends thought, that there was something on the line worth standing for in a sense. So there was this pivotal moment where I recall making that choice.
And then what happened?
Again, looking back, I would recognize the Holy Spirit working in me. At that point, I was still learning. Though I was raised Catholic, it kind of went probably went in one ear and out the other. And so I was learning, and the Holy Spirit was just kind of drawing me closer and closer to Him. I got involved in a lot of different ways I could in the Protestant church that was connected to the school that I was going to. And then we were going to Mass every Sunday. But I'll be honest, at that point in time, as a high schooler, I loved Jesus, but I thought Catholics were a little weird. Like, I hadn't quite made up my mind, even though I was raised Catholic and went every Sunday. And then one Sunday, we left our Mass, and I saw my mom outside of Mass talking with him. He was the youth minister. And I, oh, no, what are you doing talking to him? Like, no, he's going to suck us in. Like, no, you know? and sure enough, I walk over there, and she was handing him a check. And I was like, oh, maybe she's making a donation. Okay, I get away. And she looked at me, she goes, you're going on retreat next week. And I was like, oh. And like, again, I wasn't against Christ, and I was falling in love with him in a passionate way, but I didn't know much about the Catholic faith. And so it was, you know, kind of this ambiguous thing. I went on this retreat, and I still remember to this day the moment of adoration that we had on this retreat as a freshman, experiencing Christ in the Eucharist in such a powerful way, and this tangible love, this Holy Spirit flooding my body, and not really knowing how to quantify it, but just knowing, my gosh, I've experienced something so powerful. I want to figure out what this is. And that kind of led me to dive deeper into the Catholic faith through that youth ministry program.
This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit here at Christ Cathedral, and we are so blessed to have David Cavaletti talk about his journey and talk about how it's led him to be a national leader in Life Teen and a national leader in terms of leading youth and young adults, too, to Christ. And David has been a real inspiration for me personally, and just love the enthusiasm and love your zeal for the Lord. And how did it lead you into youth ministry?
Well, I think just the effect that my youth ministry program had on me, and again, it gave me a reason, it kept me Catholic, gave me such a connection with the sacraments. I knew that this was something worth spending my time with. I wanted to be involved, and I felt called to be involved. And shortly after graduating high school, I joined with a Catholic ministry team called NET Ministries, stands for the National Evangelization Teams, and they're based out of St. Paul, Minnesota. And for a year long, like, you have training and formation, and then for a year they send you out on the road with a van, and you have about 12 people on your team, and you have a suitcase and some retreat supplies. And literally for a year, 6 days a week, you're doing retreats all over the country, from middle school to high school to parents. We even did some like prison ministry and stuff like that. And it was such an amazing experience to serve that year and to have that kind of set aside. And God really just confirmed, not only do I like this, like do I feel this excitement kind of coming alive when I do it, but there's, one, a huge need for it, and two, I believe for me that I've been called into it, into that need, to help fulfill that need.
It's so exciting to hear you talk about that. And it's time now to get out your Bibles, dust them off, you know, turn to John 15, 16, because this is what it's all about. And this is what David is talking about. And John 15, 16 says, "It's not you who called me, but I who called you and anointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father, he may give to you. You were called, but your heart was ready." And what's the advice that you, those that are adults and have teens, or those who perhaps, hopefully, are teens listening in, what's your advice to them?
Yeah. John Paul II, he had this quote. He said, "Life with Christ is a wonderful adventure." And for a huge chunk of my life, I've had just a fear-based relationship with God. And this idea of, if I say yes, he's going to make me go be a martyr, or go to some remote country, or whatever it is, right? And I was so caught up in tomorrow that I was afraid to give him today. And I think that notion of stopping that fear-based mentality, not to be afraid, like, our God is good, and his plans for you are good, and he wants to call you on this wonderful adventure, and it's going to fulfill you, it's going to lead you and the people around you closer to Christ. It's a win-win in so many ways, even in the hard times, even in the difficulties. And so for me, that was a huge help, just to shift that mindset of, God is for me, not against me.
Amen. And, you know, and my brothers and sisters, again, we're with David Cavaletti, a national leader of Life Teen, a passionate evangelist. Jesus wants all of us to be passionate about him. He wants all of us to be evangelists, and he wants all of us to understand how much we're loved, that we are loved unconditionally. And take a look and flip in your Bible now to Romans 8:1. "Hence now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You know, the title of this show, and I know I've been so excited we haven't gotten the title yet, is the importance and really the importance and value of youth ministry. And the youth, they're struggling, like all of us, but they're struggling with feeling self-worth. They're struggling with feeling value. And tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, one, our culture and the enemy constantly attack their identity. And so much of our youth, they're grasping to have a sense of identity. And I think that's why you see so much of the just different confusion going on in society right now. But God is the one who's going to speak to them and give them that identity in who he is. And it's the church's job to help them to see that, to hear that, to communicate to them. And I think as a church, we need to recognize the youth ministry, it's not optional. Like, it's important, because they're not just the future of the church. They're the church right now. They're the church of today. They're this lifeblood. They have such a power and a prominence in society that we have an ability to really kind of rally on to the right side, and to show them, you know, who they are in Christ in society.
And I think it's so important that they get to know Scripture too, right? So important that Scripture becomes deep in their hearts. And take a look at Romans 8:38. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing. And my brothers and sisters, those that are listening out there, whether you be adults or youth or young adults or whatever, it doesn't matter what you've done.
Absolutely.
Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus has forgiven you. Jesus loves you unconditionally. But in order to receive that grace, we must surrender.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, and in Matthew, Jesus himself calls for the youth. He says, let the children come to me. I think as a church, we need to usher them into that surrendering, right? We need to help show them what that looks like and give them opportunities and moments to surrender to Christ. And I think that's the importance. I mean, from the first step, that's why youth ministry is not optional. We've got to dive into it as a church.
And yet it is counterculture right now as it relates to what society is all about.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, do you find that sometimes youth, they feel like, well, you know, I'll just kind of go through the motions, but I don't want to be seen as someone who is kind of different?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a great social pressure, right, to not stand out, especially in terms of faith, of the idea of having a right and a wrong, a truth, a sense of morality. Absolutely. And I think even within the church, unfortunately, we've kind of created a condition where teens are kind of expected just to be present quietly, right? It's just kind of go through the motions of mass or through our programs and things like that. Almost that, you know, seen and not heard kind of old sentiment. And as a church, we need to kind of shake our mindset a little bit and realize, like, they have such a gift and we need to engage them in order for that gift to be opened up for our church and for society and for their own lives to have that courage to go out into society.
And they will never regret it.
Absolutely.
But it's also critical to really understand that Jesus is calling all youth and all of us. So my brothers and sisters, say yes to Jesus. You'll never regret it. We're going to be right back to talk more about Life Teen and about youth ministry and the importance of it. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. Welcome back. We're with David Cavaletti, who is an evangelist, a passionate evangelist for the youth and young adults. And David, we've been talking about the critical nature of really ministering to the youth and how much they want to know Jesus, but they don't even know they want to know Jesus in most cases, right? They just know that they're searching and searching, and they're searching for love, and they're searching for meaning, and they're searching for hope. And Life Teen is something that can give that to them through Jesus Christ, obviously,
absolutely,
at the center of it. Tell us about it and tell us your role with Life Teen.
Yeah, absolutely. Life Teen, it's an international Catholic youth ministry movement. We've been around for about 30 years now, and our main goal, simply put, is to lead teens closer to Christ. And the reality of wherever that takes place, you know what I mean? One of our main kind of charisms, if you will, is supporting parish ministry. And so we believe that, I mean, the parish is where there should be an active youth ministry presence, that teens should be not only involved outside of Mass youth ministry program, but more so everything should point to that Mass to lead the teens to the Eucharist. If we're not leading them to the Eucharist, like, where are we leading them? Really, that's the question. And so our kind of main thrust is in parish support. And what we do is we develop resources that a youth ministry or church would subscribe to, and we send out these resources 4 times a year, and they're filled with everything from what we call a life night, so that'd be like your typical youth night, with current relevant topics that build upon each other, that bring the truth of 2,000 years of our faith with the current relevant culture and kind of colliding them through these nights that we've written. We bring retreats, we bring all kinds of resources, mainly so the youth minister is free to be in relational ministry with those teens. They don't have to spend the majority of their time writing curriculum and developing a program. We have amazing catechists and theologians on our team who dive in to write that stuff for them. And these people know the youth culture. They live in it. They've worked in it. So we create those resources to give to a youth minister. So then they're empowered to go and be in a relationship with these teens. Because like we said earlier, a lot of times teens don't necessarily feel connected when they're at church. And so if we can build a relationship with them, I mean, that's what Jesus was. He was relational. He knew the people. And we need to put that effort forward. Life Teen seeks to support that in a huge way through parish ministry.
So how can those out there listening in, perhaps they're involved in youth ministry or want to be involved in youth ministry, how can they find out more about Life Teen? And is there a phone number or email?
You know, simply put, lifeteen.com. Head there and you're going to find there's kind of two versions of that site as you navigate. One is geared towards those involved in ministry, whether it's a parent, a priest, or a youth minister. And you'll find everything that we have to offer, everything from our parish support to we host events all over the country. We actually have mission bases. We have a mission base down in Haiti where we serve the people there. We also have three different summer camps that we lead teens through, week-long experience of just that adventure we talked about, but also filling it with powerful evangelization and the sacraments and things like that. The other aspect of that website is really a direct ministry effort towards teens. So much of a teen's life is spent online now. I mean, they walk around with the internet in their pocket on their phone. And so we realize that as a ministry, we have this great ability to be in some form of relationship with them on this ongoing kind of internet digital way. And so we put a huge, huge amount of effort into our blogs, into our social media presence and things like that.
Well, I think that's one of the key things. We're with David Cavalletti, who is a youth leader with Life Teen nationally and certainly has been a youth minister here in the Orange Diocese. We're at Christ Cathedral, which, by the way, I have to tell you, you've got to come down and see us and see Christ Cathedral. It's an amazing place of worship, amazing place of evangelization. And I know there's a lot of youth here, too. But one of the critical aspects of the youth is just to be able to communicate in an effective way. And many people of my generation, we just don't even know what to say, you know. And I know I've been involved a lot with confirmation retreats as well as talks and so forth. And, you know, I find myself connecting with the parents more than the children, more than the teenagers. And what advice would you give someone like me or anyone who is trying to really love these teens, but somehow connect with them in a way that is meaningful?
Right. I would say, number one, meet them where they're at. I think, let's face it, most of us, I mean, whether we're teens or adults, there's probably a sense or a struggle of just guilt as it is in who we are and the different sins and what we kind of struggle with within ourselves. Now, for teens, they walk around, they have these same guilts and struggles, and they probably by default think that their brokenness isn't welcome at a church, right? They maybe view church as this museum of saints, when in reality it's a hospital for sinners, but they don't quite know that yet. And so I think the first thing we do is meet them where they're at, right? Maybe we have a lot of expectations about where they should be, but we need to kind of pull back, I think, on that and meet them where they are, right? We can't just demand them to be in a place that they aren't or that they really don't know how to get there, right? So welcome them in their brokenness, welcome them in their sins and their struggles, welcome even in their angst, because a lot of them unfortunately misunderstand the church, probably based on a big media influence. And so they may even come to like a confirmation program and just have a bitterness towards what they think the church is. Not really what it is, but what they think it is. And I found, you mentioned confirmation, and it was one of my roles in some of the parishes I've been involved is to be leading confirmation. And I'm convinced that the confirmation program is probably one of the biggest domestic missionary fields we have here in America. I think, obviously, at the core of the sacrament, there's such an importance there. But some of the ways that we've let it become this almost like series of hoops to jump through in order to get this piece of paper and this certificate, like we've kind of almost like lost a lot of the essence in how people understand it to be in the normal day to day. And struggling with that in my program, come across especially these teens who really didn't like the church. They were forced to be there. They didn't have a desire to be confirmed, let alone have a relationship necessary with who they thought God was. God really convicted me that, like, I would take it personal. You know, I would kind of, well, I'm pouring my heart out and you're just rejecting me. And he convicted me. It's like, David, like, you have an opportunity to at least be the one positive memory that this teen will have of the Roman Catholic Church. Because they've been kind of misconstrued, they've misunderstood who the church is, and they have a lot of negative stereotypes in their head about the church. If I meet them where they're at and welcome them, even in their kind of frustration and anger and their doubts and their questions, 20 years from now, when God forbid, but maybe something happens in their family and their heart is being sifted, I have the chance to be that one positive memory when they think back about God or the church. Like, there was this one guy who actually accepted me when I was being a jerk to him, you know what I mean? Or accepted me when I didn't want anything to do with him or the church. And that's a powerful thing, right? That love can melt walls, even if it is 20 years down the line. So that I'd say start there, accept them where they're at and just love them unconditionally. You know what I mean? Be in relationship with them before you start kind of listing out who they should be as people.
Amen. We're with David Cavaletti, a youth minister, life team leader. We're at Christ Cathedral talking about youth ministry and the critical nature of it and how we can communicate to youth. And one of the things that is so critical that you mentioned, a couple of things are so critical. First and foremost is that we have to love them. Mm-hmm. We talk about the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, might, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the youth are our neighbors. And when we love the youth unconditionally, without expectations, they see that.
Absolutely.
You can't fake that.
Authenticity is attractive. And if you and I can be authentic with them, that's a huge win for the gospel.
And they also, I personally think it's important at times to demonstrate some vulnerability that we're all sinners.
Oh, absolutely. It helps them to associate with those who they think are on a platform.
Yeah. You know, and take a look at your Bibles again. Let's turn to Acts 20 and 25. And this is, again, Paul talking about preaching and says, "Now I know that none of you to whom I preach the kingdom during my travels will ever see my face again. So I solemnly declare to you this day, I'm not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God." Now, my brothers and sisters, this is to the adults out there. And David, you're welcome to disagree with me, but I feel passionately about this. So many of you, and so often you hear the things where people will say, "Well, I'm just going to let them decide for themselves whenever they want to decide for themselves." And, you know, if they're adults or if it's later in life. No, you have a responsibility as a parent.
Absolutely.
To lead your people as best you can to Jesus, to get them as your mother did, you up.
Absolutely. You have to be persistent as a parent. Sometimes I've seen parents, unfortunately, treat youth ministry like we treat a soccer team. Like, I drop my kid off for practice and the soccer coach does his soccer thing. That can't be youth ministry, right? The domestic church, John Paul called it. The youth ministry has to start at home. That's where they encounter Christ. As a youth minister, I'm just here to support what you should be doing in your home. Be persistent, pursue them from love, but also don't back up. You have the gospel to give them.
And again, you know, remember what Paul told Timothy, preach the gospel, whether it be convenient or inconvenient.
Amen.
You know, do not hesitate. So don't be discouraged, my brothers and sisters. Don't be discouraged just because, you know, your kids say, "Oh, I don't want to go to church." You know, I mean, what do you do in those circumstances?
Well, I think as a parent, I just advise them to stay strong there and keep doing that. That's your job as a parent. And hopefully at the church that you're taking them to, there is some sort of welcoming youth ministry program or something like that would allow them to kind of meet them in that negativity or in that hesitation. And so I think it's a both and, right? The Spirit and the bride say come. It's got to be this twofold thing that the parents need to push and the church needs to receive as well in the right way.
I know we'll be talking about young adults in our next show. We're going to be fortunate to have David back with us next week. I think it kind of relates whether it be young adults or youth, and that is the connectivity. If you can find families where youth are really involved with the Lord and meet with them, you know, one family meeting with another family so that the youth come together, get to know each other, and that it's okay to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. It's incredibly freeing for another teen to encounter a fellow peer who actually likes church or likes Jesus, or even just to be open to that. It's so freeing.
And I have found it's such a big difference when it's acceptable, you know, because they're so self-conscious mm-hmm. about how they look to other people that it frees them up. We're with David Cavaletti here at Christ Cathedral, and I'm so excited to talk about the importance and value of youth ministry. We'll be talking about now the power of the culture that we're in, but what we can do about it as Christians. Be right back. The is Deacon Steve Greco with David Cavalletti here at Christ Cathedral talking about the importance of youth ministry. I'm so excited, Dave. I tell you, I could go on for hours and hours with you and just love to be around you and just feel the power of the Holy Spirit. And the word power, you know, it's translated in Scripture as dynamite. Mm. And Jesus said that when we're baptized by the Holy Spirit, we will receive power, this dynamite, to be His evangelist to the ends of the earth. And tell us about the power coming against us, the evil of, at times, the enemy, which, you know, demonic influences, yeah, things like drugs and alcohol, sex, and the culture of today being thrown against the youth.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the reasons why youth ministry is so important is because literally all hell is thrown at them. And I think as we get older, it's easy to look at the segment of youth culture and kind of almost brush them off because, and, you know, well, they're going to hell in a handbasket, that kind of mentality, or this idea that, you know, they're involved in all the sex, drugs, rock and roll, and almost like a finger shaking, you know, wagging your finger at them. And it's true, a lot of kind of horrible things in our culture stem from more of the youth demographic. You know what I mean? It's the MTV generation, you know, when I was growing up. But I think we need to recognize, one, that it's not a coincidence. Hell knows what hell is doing. Satan handcrafts a war against these teens. And there's a reason why. It's because these teens have such a power in society. There's this amazing quote I heard, and I want to share it with you. It's, for me, it's inspiring. It says, "He who owns the youth gains the future." One more time. "He who owns the youth gains the future," which is inspiring. But check this out. You know who said that? Adolf Hitler. Now, that's even a little bit more kind of creepy and scary there, but think about it. Hitler had the mindset, he who owns the youth gains the future. He knew the power that the youth had in culture, and he actually started what was called the Hitler Youth. And that was one of the reasons for his horrible success, we'll say, in all his atrocities, is that he had such a huge following because he met the teens in this almost youth ministry type fashion in order for them to buy in or to jump on his bandwagon. He knew the power of the youth and how they would carry society. It's a God-given power just by who they are.
There has never been more thrown at the youth, I think, anyway, yeah, than what's happening today. I mean, it's not beyond acceptable, you know, if you're not having sex at a young age, if you're not drugs or drinking or profanity or pornography, you name it. I mean, everything in the world's being thrown at them because they want to be seen as being cool.
Right.
You know, it's difficult for them to walk away from that.
Right.
So we need power, the power of the Holy Spirit, and not a watered down gospel to be able to utilize what Jesus' love and what Jesus' tools are. Mm-hmm. And we see this in Scripture. We see this in 1 Corinthians, where it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about healing. It talks about words of knowledge. It talks about the gift of miracles. It talks about all of these things. I don't like to use terms like charismatic because I believe it's what God is normal Christianity.
Amen.
Is to use the power that God has given us.
Right.
He said, "I have not left you orphans."
Right.
So tell us about that, and tell us about, I know you've been involved with the renewal and not hesitating with the whole gospel and the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
So tell us about that.
Well, I think one of the reasons why the youth are probably, like you said, there's so much thrown against them right now, is I think it's a great military strategy, right? If you have a big weapon out in a field, you're going to target everything you can at that weapon to disable it. And I believe the youth are that weapon for society, but also for our church. Again, they have such an amazing potential. And if we can bring them the fullness of the gospel, which would bring that potential to realization, would put it on the right direction, the reason it was made for, things change. And I think the Life Teen example, or Life Teen Ministry, is a great example. They've been investing into youth and bringing them not a watered down version of the gospel, but the idea of living in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, receiving those charisms and those gifts. And one of the statistics right now in the most recent poll, over 30% of vocations have come from some sort of Life Teen involvement as a teenager. And that's staggering to think, what could change someone's life who's growing up in the society to the point that they want to surrender it through vocation to the priesthood, right? That's Holy Spirit power. And I think these teens, they long to have power, and that's what society plays off of, right? You have power if you're rich. You have power if you're really athletic. You have power if you have your way with women, right? They starve for power, but they want authentic power. They may not realize it. The church has the authentic power of the Holy Spirit to hand on to them and to empower them to go into this world and to really be such a force for the kingdom of God in this world.
Now, I've certainly seen such a draw towards, of course, the Eucharist and mm-hmm. Mass, which is a core of our faith, but also adoration. Mm-hmm. And they want to get back to the core values, and they sense God's love through the Mass and through mm-hmm. church.
Yeah, absolutely. It's dumbfounding to stop and think. Like, we have God present in the Eucharist. That thought alone is earth-shattering. And to bring a teen to encounter Jesus in that Eucharist, that's what changed my life. That's what kept me Catholic. That's what gave me such this purpose. And really, a thirst to sell my life in order to get what was in that Eucharist, you know, to lay it down. And Life Teen and some other youth ministry movements that have been what we would call maybe successful, I think, are Eucharistic-centered. They're leading them to the sacraments, because the sacrament is a supernatural thing, right? The power of the Holy Spirit within that bread and that wine, which is the body and blood, to lead a teen there is beautiful for a couple of reasons. One, their own conversion. Two, they're eventually going to leave their youth ministry program. They're eventually going to leave their home church, whether it's they go off to college or they go off for work or whatever it is, and they won't have their youth minister, they won't have their favorite priest, but what we will have is the sacraments in any location at any time. And if we can connect them to the power of the Holy Spirit in those sacraments, they know where to find it. They know where to be refueled with that Holy Spirit as they're living out their journey apart from their home church or their home youth ministry program.
Tell us about how you teach youth on prayer, the power of prayer. And do you teach them to pray with each other, and how do you do that?
Yeah, I think it's kind of I like to say the pace of grace, right? Because we all move at different kind of paces, and especially depending on where you are with your teens, and if they're brand new to this church kind of idea, you gotta have to walk with them in that pace. And so one, as a youth minister, as leaders, we lead them into just kind of free expressive praise. And a lot of times that happens through song, through worship, and in the context of adoration. And from there, it's easy to start to kind of pull them into maybe prayer groups where the youth minister or the core members would pray over them. And eventually they start to be comfortable with that. And then you start to kind of empower them and show them that you can do this. You should be doing this. And we really encourage a sense of community among the teens, not just a relationship, a ministry-based relationship with the teens and their leaders, but among the teens themselves. You know what? When you're at school, like before class starts, grab a few of your friends and pray together. For me, when I was in high school, the most amazing experiences I had a few friends at school who were courageous enough to pray together, and we used to call it garage prayer. One of my friends lived around the corner from the school, so on lunch break, we would actually drive to his house, the three of us, and we'd go in his garage, and we would just pray with each other, charismatically just pray for the Holy Spirit to stir us, pray for our school, pray for our teachers, pray for, you know, the ways we could bring Christ to the people on our campus. And it's powerful when a teen knows, or that praying isn't something that, you know, quote-unquote, like religious people do or their leaders do, but it's them, like it's the breath of God in them, and they have that ability to tap into it.
My brothers and sisters, with David Cavaletti, youth evangelist and teen leader, life team leader. We're talking about youth ministry and just youth in general and how we can be catalysts to bring Jesus Christ to them. And we've been talking about prayer, which I think is absolutely critical. And one of the things I do all the time, whether it be with youth or older people or whatever, is I ask them to pray for me, and they go, oh, okay, I'll be praying for you. I go, no. I want you to pray for me
right now.
Oh, I don't know what to say. God will put the words in your mouth. Mm. Just ask God to give you the words and just reach to Him and just let His love flow through you.
Yeah.
And just whatever you say is okay. Whatever you say is the right thing.
Yeah.
And you see the looks on people's faces, and they just look like, I've never done this before.
Right.
But once they start doing it, they love it.
Right. Right.
They love it. And you said something absolutely critical. We often have these scenarios, since, you know, I'm involved in a prayer and healing ministry, right, and evangelization, is people come to me and, oh, pray for me. I want you to pray for me. mm-hmm. you know, also,
yeah.
right? Out loud,
right.
you know, and get in the habit of learning how to do that.
Yeah.
And it makes such a big difference.
Absolutely. Well, I think we see this kind of the Pope Francis effect on society, right? Some of his first words as Pope was, please pray for me. And one, the humility to do that, but also I've had so many Catholics who felt empowered when the Pope asked that, you know what I mean? That all of a sudden, like, wow, like I have a place. I'm not just a spectator in Catholicism, but like I have an active role. And when we can put the teens in that kind of same mindset that they have an active role, when we see something in them that they don't see in themselves, all of a sudden, even if in that moment they're really hesitant, but it kind of gets them thinking like, wow, what is this? What do they see in me that I don't? You know, my brother, he's awesome. He calls it treasure hunting. When you can go to someone and speak into that treasure that's deep inside that they may not know of, that power, that gift, and if you can unearth it, help them to see it, their lives change.
Wow, I love this treasure hunting. Praise the Lord with David Cavaletti here at Christ Cathedral, talking about prayer, talking about youth ministry. And boy, that is so important. You see, and this is where I don't know if you know Sister Bridge McKenna. Do you know that name?
No, I don't.
Get her CD.
Really?
For everybody out there, she's incredible. She does ministry to priests, actually, but she's so on fire with the Lord. She says there's no superstars in the Catholic Church,
Amen.
In the charismatic, you know, whatever it might be. There's no superstars. Jesus is the core. Jesus is the star. Jesus is the one, because we have no power except through Jesus Christ. And it's so important to understand, because people look at deacons or they look at leaders mm-hmm. like you, or they look at priests and they say, oh, well, I can't do what they do. Now, wait a minute. Jesus has put the Holy Spirit, yeah. God the Father, in your heart. He is in your heart through the Eucharist, through yeah. baptism. Everyone's the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to say yes to Jesus is really what it's all about. We're with David Cavaletti again. We're so excited to talk about youth ministry and prayer and what we can do to really make a difference within our church with younger people. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what specifically can you do to make a difference with where you're at with the youth. We'll be right back. It's Deacon Steve Greco. We're back with David Cavaletti talking about the importance of youth ministry. And we're at a critical point here where we need to talk about, in my opinion anyway, what can our radio audience do to make a difference with their own youth? How can they get involved, and what do they need to do?
Yeah, first of all, I would say pray for a lot of humility. You're going to need that anytime you're looking at the youth, because again, maybe at first glance, their lives are going to seem like just this big mismatch kind of thing of a lot of wrongs or a lot of negativity. And I think approaching them in humility is huge, because it's going to, one, help us to see their need for Jesus just like ours, but two, humility helps us to get on someone else's level. And I think we need to meet the teens where they're at, not expect them to be where we're at. And as a church, it's very easy to do. So we need to kind of in humility ask Christ to show us who they really are, meet them there. And by that, I think we need to advocate in our parish for them. A lot of times we kind of default, well, I'm sure the church has something for youth ministry. And if they do, that's awesome. But then maybe even probe around a little bit. What does the church have for youth ministry? Because many churches will say, oh, yeah, we have a confirmation program. And that's great. They need to be catechized and sacramentalized. But if they're not evangelized in that process, unfortunately, we're going to have a bunch of frozen chosen walking around. You know, they're going to have the sacraments and have those changes in who their souls are. But if they haven't had that conversion to Christ, a lot of that kind of just sits dormant. And so probe your church a little bit. Talk to your pastor. Take him out for dinner, right? Thank him for all he's doing. But then ask him, like, what is his vision for youth ministry? And I find, honestly, to even pose that question, what is your parish's vision for youth ministry? I don't know that a lot of parishes have ever stopped and intentionally formed a vision about evangelizing the youth of their parish.
So our radio listeners certainly can get involved, whether or not they have youth or not.
Absolutely.
All of us have responsibility. Perhaps the kids have grown. Perhaps you've never had children. Perhaps you're single. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Show up at a youth ministry event. Show up at a confirmation event.
Absolutely.
Sit in the room and listen in. Inquire what's going on.
Absolutely.
Make an appointment to meet with a youth minister. All
yeah.
those things are very important. But I'm going to hit on something that I think is the most important.
Okay, bring it.
The most important is what you do with your life. Where are you with Jesus Christ?
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, the children, the youth, in fact, everyone, but especially the youth, they hang on everything you say, mm-hmm. everything you do. Do you go to church?
Right.
Is this important to you? Do you just drop them off to your point? Where is Jesus Christ in your own relationship?
Absolutely.
You know, to what extent are you involved in drinking or even drugs or gossip or mm-hmm. the types of things of the world? Do you worship money? Do you worship power? Do you worship influence? The youth just are analyzing every single thing that their parents do and their parents' friends do. Comments on that?
Absolutely, yeah. I would say to all parents and really any adult in a Catholic parish, teens are going to learn by what you do and not by what you say. And unfortunately, I've had some conversation with teens and young adults who are very brokenhearted because from certain ministry leaders or wherever it may be, they hear one thing, but then their personal interaction with them is something drastically different than what they've been sharing. And that authenticity, again, we talked about earlier, but that authenticity speaks to a teen. And whether that's for the good or the bad, they know who you are by the way you live and by your own life, by your actions, by the way you interact with them. If that's not from a place of holiness, from a place of serving God and from that Holy Spirit in you, then they're going to see that and it's going to push them away from the Catholic Church. I think about this. Dr. Peter Kraft, in his book, How to Win the Culture War, he lays this beautiful kind of just story about what society is looking like and all these different needs. And ultimately, he gets to the end and he says, the reason the world is sick and dying is because there are not enough saints living among them. And then he pauses and he says, no, I take that back. It's because you and I are not saints living among them. And I think that's a huge, huge insight into how we actually minister to teens. Our holiness is contagious. So if we're pursuing God, youth ministers, there's nothing more important than you being on your face in front of the Blessed Sacrament, far more than planning, far more than reading books. Be with Christ and your relationship is going to flow into these teens' lives. They're going to see what an authentic person looks like. What is it? St. Catherine of Siena, be who you're meant to be and you'll set the world on fire. If we are who we are, then these teens are going to be caught in that blaze.
We're with David Cavaletti at Christ Cathedral talking about youth ministry and what we can do regardless of whether we're directly involved in youth ministry, but all of us are connected to the youth, whether we have teenagers or not, we're connected. And we're talking about how the youth really look at what we do, what we say. And it's so absolutely critical that we have self-examination. And I'm going to challenge our radio audience right now. When's the last time you went to reconciliation?
Amen.
When's the last time you went to adoration? When's the last time you prayed before a meal? When's the last time that you prayed in general in which you just sat down in a room and prayed the rosary? When's the last time that you showed your faith regardless of what's happening in the world and in the events of your children or your own life? Did you demonstrate faith when things maybe weren't going well at work or going well at home? Did you turn to Jesus in prayer? I mean, all of those things add up. It doesn't mean you have to do them all. This isn't a Catholic guilt trip.
No.
But more of a challenge to say, where are you with your relationship with Christ? Because that's exactly what makes a difference in which our youth see what their parents are doing, their friends are doing, other members, adults are doing. It makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the way we live our lives obviously becomes this book that these people are going to read, you know, whether that's good or bad. And when I have a chance to talk with teens and parents in the same room, which usually is like in like a confirmation setting, one of the things I always try to press on them or to stress or give them the example of is, imagine like you guys as a family, mom, dad, and the son or the daughter, whatever, make a plan as a family to go to reconciliation one Saturday. Because parents, a teen is not going to come up to you and tell you that they need to go to confession, right? I mean, they know how, you know, their sins and they struggle with it. And to tell their parents like, hey, I'm a sinner. Like parents, you know, it's scary for a teen to do that. So parents, lead the way. One, like gather them together, head to the church, put it on the calendar, make it that important. Because teens, if they see that it's important enough to be put on a calendar or to plan your day around, it's going to start to take root in really the importance of the sacrament. But when you go to confession, dads, lead the way. Okay, lead the way in your humility. Head into that confessional and come out clean. Moms, lead the way. Head on in. And then when those teens follow, when they come out, encourage them. Tell them how proud of them you are. And then I always tell families, after you go to confession together, go and celebrate. Like, go get ice cream. Go do something that you normally don't do in order to, one, celebrate the freedom of forgiveness, right? Celebrate that mercy. But two, help these teens understand, like, this is a good thing. Going to confession is not a shame-filled thing. It's a freeing thing. And if you can do it as a family, that's powerful.
Amen, amen. It's time to take a look at Philippians 2. And Philippians 2, 7 and 8, rather he, being Jesus, emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Jesus showed humility, and that's what we need to do.
Absolutely.
We need to humble ourselves before the Lord, humble ourselves before the family, make a difference in which we have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's by far one of the most important things we can do, because if we live one life and say, oh, well, I want you to be different, you know, it's much more difficult that way.
Absolutely. I agree. Again, I think it just goes back to this idea of being authentic. You know, if we're not living a life pursuing heaven, then why should anyone around us believe us when we tell them that they should? And that, I think really at the base of it, that's what evangelization is. I use a small example, but here in Orange County, we have this amazing restaurant called Bruxy's. It's this gourmet waffle sandwich place. Absolutely delicious. I hope someone's listening and sends you one, Deacon, because they're phenomenal.
Oh, my mouth is watering.
Right. But here, I use this as an example. When that place first opened, I went there, and I had this Belgian waffle with a chocolate ganache and melted marshmallow. Delicious, right? And what did I do? The first thing I had it is I went and told my friends, hey, you want to go to lunch tomorrow? I know this place, right? When we encounter something that changes us or affects us, we want to share it by nature, whether it's a movie, whether it's a song, whether it's a waffle sandwich. Our faith should be no different. And as parents, as people in the ministry or in the parishes, we need to be tasting heaven in such a way that we can't shut up about it. And our teens are going to wonder, what are they on? What are they eating? What are they consuming? That's the gospel. And they're going to thrive. They're going to thirst for it.
Amen. And blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for David and his ministry and life teen, and we thank you and praise you for our youth. Guide them, Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit, and guide us to be the agents of love and agents of evangelization. God bless you all. We'll be praying for all of you on an ongoing basis. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm a soul.